we persevere. We go. You know, I myself am a little tired. I was doing the Lord's work this week, Stephen, and I took the eighth graders to Washington, D.C., and it nearly killed me. In fact, I may have died over there, and I'm just an apparition that's appearing to you guys. You know, somehow sleeping with like six eighth grade boys in a hotel room, not as glamorous as it may sound. And one of the boys had allergies and was son lost. I had both my earphones, like with white noise, like gentle calming breezes and raindrops in full, and both pillows like this. And he's just tearing the roof off. And I was like, if I kill this person, can I plead temporary insanity? No, I'm just joking. Yeah, so if I'm a little... It was crazy, Daniel. We had, on the way back, we flew, and one kid had motion sickness and was about to throw up. Another kid's ears weren't going to pop. They couldn't seem to deal with. But we made it, and we saw everything, except for the Air and Space Museum, which was closed, the Museum of African American History Museum that said they closed at 5:30, so we went to Arlington National Cemetery and then came back, and it was the last day before we left. And they close at 5:30, but they stop letting people in at 4:45. So we had showed up at 5, and they wouldn't let us in. But other than that, we saw all of the memorials, took a million pictures, all of the kids did all the Instagram and TikToks. I was feeling a little bit worried because I don't want to sound like, you know, a grump. But I felt a little bit weird that on the spot where Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous speech, my kids are doing TikTok dances to the... And I was like, we want to take pictures and, you know, we're not listening to Young Jeezy or whomever. But we made it. And a good time was had by all. So, but it did remind me... the symbiotic nature of our mind and soul and our bodies. The more tired I became, the harder it was for me to be patient. The more irritable I was. It was like the Holy Spirit was telling me to be patient with them. Gabriel, they're children. This is a fun thing for them. It's not work for them like it is for you. You have to be patient. But the more tired that I became, the more jet lagged, the less sleep, it was harder for me to hear that voice, and it was easier to listen to all of the excuses about why I should be upset. Did that make sense? The Bible says that life is in my Father. Jesus says, life is in my Father, and he gives it to me, and I give it to you. And life and youthful vigor is part of the gospel. He made our flesh to be healthy, to be rested and full of energy. And the devil wants to take that away from us, so it's even more important to get after that. The more sick you become, the more tired you become, the easier it is for the devil to slip in those lies. And so I always, you know, talk with my students and with my own children and people who care what I say. People can get so transfixed on the nature of sin and good and bad and forget the actual consequences, right? I tell my kids, you should not do drugs. Not only because it's bad, but because it'll kill you. It will sicken your body. It will steal the life. It will steal the vigor. It'll steal the clearness of your mind. It's not only that it's a sin. It's that it has damage in the flesh that God created. So I really think it's important, in addition to all of our spiritual and metaphysical musings, to also take care of our corporeal flesh in any way that we can. Whether that's in our diet and exercise or our sleep. I don't know about you guys, but I always have this thing with me. If they make a chip that puts in our brain, I'll probably be the first one at Apple for the new iChip. And I always go to sleep with it. And I don't know if that's such a good thing because I'm like looking at it and then it causes me to get less sleep. I don't know. Something that I'm thinking about. But in addition to our spiritual journey, I think that there is a physical component that needs to be addressed as well. Because the devil wants to rob us of the joy that is being alive, being healthy, being young, being full of... You know, when you're young, you take it for granted. And then at some point it starts to slip and you don't realize and things get harder and harder and harder. Anyhow, that was just for free, Danny. That was the sprinkles on top. We haven't even gotten to the Christmas ham yet. But I will keep it brief. He said, we have now left the Gospels and are getting into the book of Acts. And after that, I believe we said we're going to go into the letters of Paul. I don't know if we're going to get into the book of Revelation and all of that can of worms. But it's at this time, Jesus is up in heaven, making moves, doing something. And his disciples are here on earth, deciding what the next step should be here. And there are, as with any time you get a group of humans together, there's going to be differences in opinion as to what the next step should be. And there are many of the early Christians who see Christianity as a Jewish faith. It's a Jewish religion. And they have a history of Jewish religions being exclusive. So there is the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles is everybody else. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Everybody who is not Jewish is a Gentile. But Jesus says to spread the word to all corners of the earth. So that would include Gentiles, is the idea. And they are fighting. And we'll see this as we continue to read through Acts, and especially as Paul is brought into the scene. They're fighting about who can be saved. Later, when the Romans get a hold of Christianity, they put their whole spin on it. Who can be saved? What's the nature of Jesus? What's the nature of the Father? What's the nature of the Holy Spirit? And they argue on and on about it. Some people say, he's all one thing. It's all one thing. Well, that's a problem because when Jesus is at the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's crucified, he's talking to somebody else. God, if there's any way to take this cup, he knows what's going to happen. He's going to be nailed to a tree. It's going to be terrible pain. He's going to feel that. If there's anywhere else, please. And it says the answer comes back from someone else. Sorry, dude. This is the only way. So that's a problem. Then later, Jesus says it's better for you to go because I will send you a helper. That's another thing. So what does that mean? Are there three or is there one? Is Jesus divine, God, or is he man, or is he both? These arguments get extremely heated, even to this day, about the nature of God, the nature of creation, the nature of heaven. And I think that there is merit in thinking about those things, right? When I was a kid at Redeemer, I think they still teach it like this, but creation is like a short, pretty easy, simplified. God wakes up on the first day, says, let there be light, and let it be separated from the darkness. And the second day, he says, let there be dry land, and right, and he goes on and on and on. And then on the seventh day, he rests. And we did a little skit, I remember to this day, Mrs. Doty, who made us sleep in nap time. I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles towel, and if you were good and went to sleep, then nothing happened. But if you were bad, you got spanked with a ping pong paddle. And I remember we had a little play, and we were all dressed up, right? And we all acted out the different days, right? And then we had the birds and the fish of the sea and all these kinds of things. It was very cute. And then on the seventh day, the kid who was playing God lays down in a bed and goes to sleep. Adorable, right, Hector? But did God actually rest on the seventh day? The creator of all things, an entity that existed before time and space, became tired and went to sleep or rested somehow? That was difficult for my mind to comprehend. How could you even be tired? You've only been alive for six... I would argue this. There is merit to thinking about the nature of existence. However, the more important question in my mind is looking at yourself and your own actions. The devil constantly wants me, us, to look at other people. He divides us. Napoleon had a very famous strategy, divide and conquer. He attacks the Prussians. He runs down the center, marches his column right down the middle, splits the line in half, and then conquers either way. I firmly believe that the devil has a similar strategy. He has been getting humans to put each other into categories our entire existence. There's us and there's them. Even Christians, there's Catholics and there's Protestants. There's Democrats and Republicans. And as long as you are focusing on the other person and how they are wrong, your attention is drawn from how you can improve yourself. I spent so much of my life, and continue to do it, looking at all of the things that other people need to fix. It's like automatic, constantly. I'm driving, look at all these idiots around me. I don't say that out loud, I try not to. The kids get bothered. But I'm thinking about how all of the people are wrong in the way that they drive. Then I get out of my car and I go to Starbucks and I look at all of the people that I think are rude, or all of the people that I think are impatient, or all of the people that I think this, that, and the other thing about. Then I open up my phone and I look on Instagram because I hate myself. And I look at all of the different people's pictures. Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's not cute. Then I open up Twitter and I look at all of the different people's things and I think wrong, 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 kind of right, wrong. And I go through my life looking at other people. And the entire time, I'm not working on myself. When I think back about how much I do it, the time that I've been robbed, how much of my youth did I spend in arrogance, thinking that I had it all figured out and I just had to explain it to everybody else once I was given a chance. I wasn't conscious. I was just, people were talking and I was just waiting for my turn to talk. Get on with it. You're wrong. Let me just explain it to you. That's the lie. Constantly focused on everybody else, our friends and neighbors, our enemies and adversaries. What are they doing over there? Instead of looking at all of the work that needed to be done. And there's so much work that I need to do. And I would argue there's so much work we all need to do. Jesus tells the parable that really struck with me. He said, the man in the house is armored and prepares for the man who can attack and take his belongings. In my opinion, that is the devil that's represented by all of the things that we need to work on. Our envy, our wrath, our lust, all of the things that keep us from being our true happy selves. Jesus said, it's only when a man stronger than him comes in and takes his armor that the house can be pillaged. Each one of us is filled with potential. I look at my son, he is, and this is completely objective, he is handsome, he's intelligent, he's funny, he's kind, he's loving, he's every good thing. And I think, why isn't he just taking over the world? Why isn't he just living to the full potential that I can see clearly in him? He can't see it himself yet. And my job as a parent, I believe, is trying to help him see that. But it's not, there's nothing that I can say that will fix him automatically. There's nothing that I can say that will cause him to immediately write just a bumper sticker slogan that I needed to, you know, email him. He has to take, the devil wants to lie to him, wants to keep him insecure, keep him in his room, keep him doing fun things like video games, distract him. Aiden has to take from the devil what is his. Aiden has to make himself the stronger man and take away the armor. I have to do that same thing, and as long as I'm looking at everyone else, I can't do that. To be the father that I want to be the teacher that I want to be the man that I want to be, is difficult. It's so difficult because I flew in at 2 in the morning and I'm tired. And the next day I'm tired and I'm cranky and my kids are asking me for things, but I'm irritated, and so I'm short with them. And their feelings are hurt by that, and our relationship is damaged by that. Because that's what the devil wants. He wants us separated. But it's up to me to figure out how to do that. Does that make sense, Steve? I have to take what is mine from the devil. But the issue is, how do I do that? I have to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His guidance. Each step. So that when I'm at my job, when I'm at my house, He will guide me so that I can work on myself. It is so easy for me to play video games and eat junk food. Why is it easy to eat pizza and watch Netflix, and it's difficult to eat healthy and work out? Well, some people would say that pizza tastes better and sitting on the couch is much, much nicer. But in the long run, there's nobody who doesn't know that working out and eating healthy is better for you in the long run. And yet, we continually do things to self-sabotage. It's the lie. Hey, Bill. How's it going, man? The real issue is being able to hear the voice and take the action. Being aware of what the devil's plan is for me. Taking the kids was a good thing to set to Washington, D.C. But being tired gives an opportunity for the devil to attack. Gives an opportunity for me in my weakness to say something in irritation or in anger. And it's up to me to listen to the Holy Spirit and take that action somehow. Humble myself, quiet myself, reflect on myself, taking that time, that action, instead of the easy route of going on Instagram, playing video games, whatever it may be. Do not be distracted this week, whatever it may be. Pray and think about your actions. I don't know what the answers are for all of you. I don't even know what all the answers are for me. But if we are diligent, they will be revealed. I think to myself often, I have a friend who's from another country, and they've moved to America, and sometimes I get Facebook. He's a little bit of like, I don't want to get too political, but he's a little bit like one of the people who believes in conspiracies, and I get a lot of emails about, like, you know, Hillary Clinton being the Antichrist. Like, I knew it. I'm just joking. And I get all these emails and the Facebook posts, and I normally just kind of ignore them. And who am I to say what the real nature of Hillary Clinton is? But I would argue that that person's time would be better served reflecting on their own behavior in life instead of sending me emails about how I'm wrong politically. Is there an email that they can send me where I'm like, you know what, you're right. You're right. You're right. No. They're going to send me emails. I'm going to send them emails. We're going to post things at each other. And both of us are going to be angry. Instead of trying to find some common ground. Instead of reflecting on myself and thinking, you know what, Gabe? Maybe you don't know everything. Is it in the realm of possibility, Todd, that maybe I don't know everything? Reflecting on my own actions, on my own behavior, how I can be a better father, how I can be a better teacher, and take back what the devil wants to steal from me, what he has stolen from me. Being the man that the Lord will guide me to be will command the respect that I want anyways. I have to get it. I have to take it. I have to earn it. For so long, I wasn't earning anything, and I was saying everything. It was no coincidence then that nobody listened. Even now, I often think, what do I have to say to the people who listen, who are just as intelligent and wise and informed as I am? Nothing. I can only try and listen to the voice and live my life as best as I can, and people will decide for themselves. Either this guy's full of it, or maybe he has something to offer. Maybe he's learned something through his millions of wrong decisions and the process of humbling himself. Do not be lied to. The benefits will be yours when I am behaving the way the Lord wants me to, in humility and love and kindness. My children see that, and they come up and talk to me. When I am behaving in arrogance, condescendingly talking down to them, irritatingly yelling at them, I can see them close off. They're my benefits. The Lord gives them to me, but I have to take them. I have to take them. In my actions, in the way that I eat, in the way that I think, in how often I pray, I take them away from the thief. I take them. I go into the house, I take off the armor, and I plunder the house for what I deserve. What I will have. Health and strength in my body. Love and respect from my children. I take it through my actions, not my words. I had to take it. I can't post it. I can't email it. I can't speak it and yell it, he says after just yelling. I have to earn it. But I'm going to be the one who gets the rewards. I will be the one. When I eat right and live right, I'm the one who feels healthy. When I follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I'm the one who gets peace in my mind, love in my heart. I reap all of the benefits because I've taken them. And the more that I step away, the more I turn my head from it, then I reap the consequences. The more that I close my mind and close my ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more I suffer. And I can tell you, I have suffered. But there is hope. There's hope for each and every one of us. I do not know the nature of creation yet. I do not know the nature of the Trinity yet. But I know that God loves me, and He sent a helper to guide me in my life, that will heal me, that will give me love in my heart for my children that I always do, but for my students, for my fellow man and woman. And that at the end of it all, the hope that I will see the ones that I love again. That's good. That's the gospel. Six days? A billion years? Irrelevant. Here and now, today, this morning, this week, the hope, the peace, the kindness that I can feel, that you can feel, it's tangible. Be encouraged this week. The devil's lie for you is not the same lie he has for me. It might be different. Maybe he lies to you about your job or your health or somebody who you love's health. Maybe he lies to you about fear and causes you to worry. Maybe he causes you to stress. Maybe he causes you to doubt. Maybe he causes you to hate. It's a lie. It's a lie. And with patience and perseverance, listening to the guidance, you can sift it out and you will get the benefits. You'll get the benefits in your mind, in your body, in your soul. You got to take them. I often don't know what's going to happen in the future. What's going to happen with this building? What's going to happen with my loved ones? What's going to happen with my friends? The devil tries to scare me. What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to this building? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And when I dwell on that, I'm terrified. I'm frozen in fear. But when I'm able to take the action, praying, listening to the Holy Spirit, I feel peace. And in that peace, I know the next step. I know the next step. What will they say, Gabriel, when they find out you're preaching at church? You of all people. Lord, help me. Guide me. He gives me peace. He gives me peace. It's good. I thank you all for being here. Well, Judd and everybody else is living it up. We're here. Just joking. It is good to be here. I was tired this morning, and I was hearing the lie. I had Lily for a sleepover, and the girls were playing Nintendo Switch at 6:30 in the morning. I woke up. I got to do all this stuff. They got to do the, why don't they ever? Da, 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 da. And then I come and see your faces and I sing some music and I scream and rant and rave. And I feel better. Because His presence brings peace. And when I'm in that presence, people can feel it. But mostly me. I thank you for giving me this opportunity. Be blessed this week. Be blessed in your lives and in your bodies and in your relationships. Thank you for being here. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Are you going to sing a... Yeah, okay. So, close in prayer, and then you'll sing. Please bow your heads. Lord, thank you for another week. Thank you for this place and for these people. Thank you for giving us the opportunity and the resources to be here. Please guide us this week, Lord. Help us to hear your voice compelling us to love each other, to forgive each other. Give us peace and patience, Lord. Humble us and give us the ability to hear other people and the wisdom that they might have for us, the wisdom you have for us. Guide us, strengthen us, protect us, Lord. Bind the devil back. Silence his lies. Keep him from harming us. And bring us back next week for more time together, more time to think about you and your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.